Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's going to be a beautiful Thursday here in Nashville, Tennessee, and I am very much looking forward to that. Robbie Stanley here alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic, Marquise Munson behind the glass. Fellas, what's going on this morning?
Not much. Looking forward to maybe a little grass cutting today.
Oh,
well, I'm gonna try, trying to get my sons to do it and see who wants to step up. But if not, I'll jump in there because it's going to be a great day.
You would think that like this may be the perfect time if you ever were going to get your sons to like get outside and do some manual labor. Being cooped up for so long, this might be like the perfect storm for you.
Well, that's true. Middle son did some weed picking yesterday, so and he actually cut the front. So, I mean, he's kind of embraced it, but we'll see. It's a lot, you know, the backyard's more, so, we'll see. I've offered up. I said, might get, an extra privilege here if you want to grab this. It's an opportunity for you. If not, I could use the exercise anyway. So, I'm we're trying to give people choices in life.
That's right, Joe. I think today, after the show is done, I'm going to walk outside into my yard, sit down in the grass and stare directly up at the sun for about 5 hours. It's my long lost friend. I see you now. Welcome back into my life. 80 degrees. That's speaking my language all day long.
Just, put some shades on and just look a little bit to the side, not directly at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's probably the smarter thing to do. But you know what? There could be a combination of the two. There may be some direct contact today. That's how much I've missed the sun.
Yeah, I guess that's all right. A little bit of vitamin B, right? Vitamin B, vitamin D.
Vitamin D.
Vitamin D.
My body needs a whole lot of vitamin D. Yeah. I'm about as pale as it gets right now. Munson, what's going on? How was your Wednesday night in our beautiful city of Nashville, Tennessee?
I didn't know how it was in the city of Nashville because I can't get outside. But,
well, that's true.
Yeah. I enjoyed the inside, though, but I woke up this morning feeling a little down. That's all.
A little down. You did, and I know why.
Yeah.
Your beloved Dodgers. It's supposed to be their year. Opening day is supposed to be today, and here we are.
But here's what's funny. So I'm watching SportsCenter yesterday, and, it's supposed to be like the preview of opening day. And all of a sudden, I see Dave Roberts on SportsCenter. And I'm like, oh, Dave Roberts. He talks about Mookie Betts, praises Mookie Betts, and obviously he's the greatest. But then he also shows a video of him doing a TikTok with his daughter. And he's, like, very proud of this TikTok.
Because
he pulls his phone out and throws it in, like, in front of the camera. Like, I didn't hear the question, like, hey, can we see the TikTok video? He just pulled it out and was just like, hey, here you go. Look at it. This is me and my daughter doing TikTok videos. I'm like, you better hope that bullpen is on point when we come back. Cause so help me, Dave Roberts. If you mess this bullpen rotation situation up again, I will heart back to March 25th, 2020, when you showed a TikTok video of you dancing with your daughter. Come on.
Thanks dude. For bringing up TikTok videos, by the way. Now Robbie's going to remind us of our...
Hey, what's the update on the TikTok video? Nothing, Robbie. We're still not on. We're
wow.
still not there.
He's violently
There's
against
the
TikTok.
There's a lot of hostility
video.
Today.
Seriously.
Oh my God.
I'm not doing a TikTok. Especially now after Dave Roberts does it. I'm not definitely doing it.
Just come up. You don't have to... Every TikTok video doesn't have to be like...
It gets
a
worse
goofy
and worse.
Dance, right?
It gets worse and worse.
I've only seen one good one. It was the one those guys who made fun of the Astros cheating scandal.
Yeah, that was good.
Awesome.
That was good. That was like, okay, now I get TikTok.
If I can do
other than that, I really don't.
If I can do one that reenacts the scene on training day at the end where Denzel pretty much cusses out everybody and his whole neighborhood. If I can reenact that scene, I'll do it.
Do it. There you go.
Well, that's a little vulgar.
There's a lot of hostility coming out of Munson today.
How?
He is upset.
How? That's the greatest movie scene of all time.
It's just a whole lot.
I like the idea. I think you should. You could. You know. You don't have to actually say this stuff, right? Can you even talk on TikTok videos?
Well, no. It's the audio would be in the background. Yeah. Denzel's voice will be talking, and I'll just lip sync it.
Okay, there you go. That's a better idea than I have right now.
What is your idea?
I have none. Okay, I mean, what's the point? I mean, I guess I'll do a dance with my daughter. No, I don't know, man.
Are you Dave Roberts now? You're going to mess
like, that's all anybody does.
Shout out to Joe Rexroad messing up the Dodgers rotation in the playoffs.
I don't know.
Isn't this just your luck? Like, this year, your Dodgers are supposed to win like 125 games, and here we are, and the baseball season may not even start until June or July.
Well, technically, there might still be 125 games. That may be where the target start is. So maybe we just go undefeated in 125. I don't know. But no, it definitely holds my anticipation for this season a little bit longer, because I did expect this team to be pretty good. And now I have to wait a couple more months, which is fine, because, you know, obviously this is a lot more serious than my Dodgers winning a World Series for the first time since 1989. So it's not like a big, you know, this is a big deal. So obviously I'm taking that more seriously than the Dodgers, but it still kind of sucks that you got to wake up this morning knowing that it's opening day, and then all of a sudden it's just like, there is no opening day. Home run derby's tonight, though, on ESPN. They're showing. So I'm looking forward to that.
What's y'all's favorite part about opening day? Like, for me, like, the baseball part of it's fine, and I love that. But to me, it's like the official, or I guess unofficial, launching of spring. I mean, even the weather today, it feels good outside. It's going to feel great. Opening day in baseball, it feels like spring is upon us. What's y'all's favorite part of opening day in baseball?
Well, you know, for one thing, it's weird to me that today would have been opening day. And I know this is a pretty recent thing. I mean, this is also Thursday. This is Sweet 16 day.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be that opening day of baseball was right after college basketball, right after the tournament ended. And so now you're talking about this would have been, you know, competing with, to me, one of the great days of the tournament, you know, that you got basically four Sweet 16 games. And I know those are all at night. So for one thing, when we talk about that, I'm like, really? It's already? It would have been? Oh, but I know they obviously moved things up recently. I mean, going to opening day, you know, I was able to go to a few Tigers opening days, and, you know, it's just, yeah, I agree, Robbie. It's definitely signals spring. But you know, the event itself, I mean, honestly, if you're looking at a baseball team's 162 game season, you have some huge games along the way. If you have a contender, you know, your division rival, stuff like that. And obviously if you get to the postseason. But other than that, I mean, that day at the stadium is unparalleled. It's unmatched. You know, so it's just a huge celebration. I mean, game two, usually, you know, it's April and it's cold and it's like 12,000 people show up, you know. Yeah. But game one it's special. And there's no doubt about it. Very special day. So I did like it, though, before, when it was sort of like, okay, set everything aside, basketball's over, you can focus in on the baseball now.
I agree, and I got to thinking about this last night as I was thinking about opening day in Major League Baseball. Like, which park do we think has the best opening day? Like, which park around the league would you love to go to if you could pick one to experience opening day at? Where would it be? I mean, mine would be Fenway, just because of the history there. But I think there's a lot of good options out there. You know, you got Wrigley in Chicago, a whole bunch of different options that you could have to experience opening day at any park around the league. Which one would it be?
Yeah, it would be Wrigley for me. And this may be an unpopular opinion. I mean, I love Fenway. Fenway is an amazing place, but I like Wrigley better. I think Wrigley's a better ballpark. They're both the areas around both stadiums are great. I would probably prefer Wrigleyville a little bit more too. So that would be awesome. That's one of my favorite places to go in all sports. It's been a few years now too, by the way. Got to change that soon, but that would be my pick. Now that Tiger Stadium has been torn down, which is like 20 years ago.
Yes, and that's a tragedy. Just a tragedy.
Chavez Ravine, though, would be awesome. I assume Munson. Have you done opening day at Chavez Ravine?
I have not. I have not done an opening day. I remember, I was in Alabama.
Yeah,
it's not a lot of good opening days in Alabama.
I guess what
especially when you watch that baseball team.
Probably have to be the Braves, right? That would have to be your.
Well, to be honest with you, like the only I haven't been to a baseball game until like 2 years ago when I went to the Dodgers Braves series.
Okay,
that was the first time I've ever been to a baseball game
in Atlanta, obviously.
Yeah, in Atlanta, obviously. So
how was that?
It was fun. It was I had to watch Acuña, you know, have a grand slam, but in my Dodgers jersey. But other than that, the Dodgers won. And it's funny because my friend reminded me of that this weekend. For some reason, he put on his Snapchat like Acuña grand slam. I'm like, first of all, it's a random Saturday. Why are you posting this? And second of all, you knew I was going to watch this, so I think you just trolled me. And I was like, yeah, I did. I'm like, who won the series though?
Oh.
Who won the next game though? I missed that game. I had to watch the game that they lost, and then they end up playing that Monday, and then they won. So I'm like, maybe I'm bad luck for the Dodgers. Maybe I need to just stay away. That's why I stay away. I just watch NBA. I'll check in on my Dodgers. I'll peep in the door and be like, hey, how you guys doing? Still winning? Okay, good. I'll be back later. See you guys later. So I got to stay away from them as much as possible. I'm bad luck.
When do y'all, like, really get into baseball? Because I'll be honest with you, like, for me, I don't really start – like every day paying attention to what's going on in baseball until like August, maybe even September. Like it's so long for me that it takes me a long time to really get invested into what's going on in baseball.
Yeah. I think there's an uptick for me like in July, just because, you know, once you get through Stanley Cup playoffs, you get through the NBA playoffs, you know, then you're sitting there, all of a sudden July looks like a barren sports landscape. Although right now that looks like the most wonderful thing in the world to have any sports at all. But so a little bit of an uptick in July. Honestly, for me, Robbie, I my attention on baseball is somewhat tied, or has been over the years, to, you know, like if your team's good, you know, and in a race, I feel like you just pay way more attention. I've never been a fantasy baseball player. I don't know about you guys. I think that's a big factor for people about how closely they follow it or not. But that and your team being good or not affects it. But, yeah, regardless, like really getting into the, you know, like the races and things like that, it probably goes up as you start in July and then even more, you know, in August to September.
Yeah, see, I'm a huge NBA fan. Like NBA is like my top tier. So I always like – wait until after the NBA playoffs, but I always pop in. Like, if a Dodgers game is on, you know, ESPN or whatever, obviously I don't live in California anymore, so I don't have access to all the entire games. You know, I don't have KCAL or whatever they play it on there now. But when they're on ESPN, I'll watch if there's not any, you know, NBA playoffs going on. But once the NBA playoffs, like, goes completely off, then I kind of dip into either that, and also, since I'm a college football nerd, like, SEC Media Days is coming up always, so then I'm kind of keeping up with that, too. But it's mostly, like, late June, early July is when I start really, like, watching baseball.
What if the Dodgers were crap? What if they were just a terrible team?
Still watch
team?
Them. I watched an entire Lakers season where they didn't make the playoffs. Like, it's I support –
That's good fandom. That's
I support
good fandom
my
right
bad
there.
Teams. Mark, like, the Raiders, they have not been good since Derek Carr, you know, almost – or took them to the playoffs but then got hurt. So, like, I always keep up with my teams no matter how bad they are. But, you know, obviously I'm a little spoiled because, you know, I went to Alabama. Oh. So I don't know. I don't have to watch a lot of losing too much. So if the Lakers are losing, so what? Nick Saban will win us a national championship. As I put my pinky up, Nick Saban will win us a national championship.
Is that who you're trying to be? You're trying to be Dr. Evil there?
Oh, no, just bougie Alabama fans. There's a lot of those. I'm not one of them, but there's definitely a lot of those.
The bougie Alabama fan.
Oh, yeah.
I've got so much respect for people who, like, play fantasy baseball every day. Like, I can't do – there's no way I could do it.
You know who does? Willie and Darren. They are really – they are, like, honed in on fantasy baseball. And I was like, I can't get into this. Like, it's just hard.
That's sports nerddom that I just can't embrace.
I can't even get into NBA fantasy basketball, which is – and I love the NBA, and I can't even get into that.
Yeah, like, I can't do fantasy hockey. Like, it's time-consuming enough for me, I think, to do fantasy football, to, you know, dealing with games on Thursday and Sunday and Monday. Like, I can't do anything else.
Give me one lineup change. Yeah, like you said, you get the Thursday game, but, you know, set your lineup, get out of there. I can live with that. I can't do the daily thing.
When we come back, it's obviously a lot of uncertainty regarding the MLB season right now, when it's going to start, but also what's the playoff format going to look like once it does start? Could there be some neutral site playoff games? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Jeff Passan of ESPN talking about what it could look like for Major League Baseball once they come back and what a postseason could look like if it stretches out into late November, maybe even early December. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. And Joe, just kind of looking at what's going on in the world of baseball right now, obviously so much uncertainty regarding the coronavirus, about when the season will even begin, when that happens, how many games are they going to be able to fit in the schedule that's available to them. And even Scott Boras has come out with a proposal that has accounted for both a 162-game season and a 144-game season, I think starting in June, using doubleheaders, and eventually getting to a postseason that uses neutral site games. I think, you know, in the playoffs, it's got games at Dodger Stadium, Angel Stadium, and then games across the country in stadiums with domes like Miami and Arizona and Milwaukee, Toronto, among others. Really interesting how Major League Baseball may be forced, if this season stretches out into November, maybe even close to December, you're going to have to get creative with the way that you use your facilities, because you don't really want, you know, a cold weather city hosting a World Series game in December and you're going outside playing baseball and it's 5 degrees outside.
Yeah, but you know what? I hate the neutral site or whatever dome idea. I mean, look, if you go back, you can find World Series highlights with snowflakes in the air. You can certainly – I mean, you go back to the Cubs-Cleveland series. I mean, your stuff that goes basically into late October, early November. I mean, in some of those climates, it can be bitterly cold in October, and it has been. I mean, there have been games played, and really on both ends of the Major League schedule, you've got games. I mean, certainly there's plenty of snowy April games. Not plenty. There are some. There have been some in northern cities. They still play the game. I would rather have, if people can go in these stadiums and sit outside and sit in Lambeau and watch football in the snow or in Soldier Field or whatever, then why can't a baseball playoff game happen in that same weather?
Because baseball takes forever. That's why. You're sitting out there and you turn into a popsicle about 4 hours into it.
Well, I guess the NFL is pretty much cut and dried. It's going to be 3 hours. Baseball can be worse. Hey, I don't know. Speed up the pitching clock, man. I don't know. I really would not. I think you'd have, you know, low turnout, and it just would not be the same if you moved these to some neutral site stadiums. I know, again, this is like, it feels like, you know, first world problem situation here, as we hope it happens at all and all that, but if they do get to where they have to push everything back, I still hope they just say, it's, you know, just whoever's in it, you're going to host games. It's going to be in your stadium. And as far as all the doubleheaders and everything, I get that you want as many games as possible, but, I mean, is it really tragic if there's a 100 or 80 or 90 game season? I mean, I know you're cutting out a lot of, you know, what you're cutting out is maybe some really attractive series and games, stuff like that. But I mean, don't you think we can still get a pretty solid, you know, representation in the postseason of who should be there in 80 and 90 games? I do.
Oh, I do too. Look, I've said for a long time, I think the baseball season is way too long to begin with. 162 games. I mean, it's a lot of games. Like, even 144, that's a ton of baseball games. So I really wouldn't be that upset to see, you know, a 100-game season, a 90-game season. Now, I know who would be upset, and that's the ownership, because, yeah, obviously, right, you're not making anywhere near as much money if you're playing a 90-game season as opposed to a 162-game season. So I understand that aspect of it. But, no, I think you're right, Joe. I mean, is there really going to be that much of a difference between who makes the playoffs under a 100-game season and who makes the playoffs in a 162-game season? You'll have some differences, and injuries could play a factor into that as well. But by and large, I mean, you're really good teams. Like, the Dodgers are probably going to be in first place 80 games into the season, just like they'll be in first place 152 games into the season. Like, that's just how it's probably going to go if you're the LA Dodgers. So I wouldn't be that upset if baseball comes around and maybe they're only able to play 100 games. I think it would be interesting to see what the fan interest would be like at that point with a shorter season.
Yeah, well, I think I could be wrong here, but I think whenever any sports come back, I think people are going to flock. Now, of course, we could have sports back, but not fans and stadiums back too. I mean, that's also a possibility. I mean, I think there's certainly something to be said for television revenue. I mean, in baseball, you know, the local television revenue is a big, big deal for a lot of these clubs. You know, I mean, the Fox Sports, a lot of those, in different markets and things like that, and then other networks in other markets. I mean, that's a big part of the revenue stream for these clubs. So just to have that inventory and be able to be on television and people, and I, you know, if we're all still inside, then too, I think you'd be talking about massive interest to watch this stuff. But I just think any kind of return of sports, you're going to see a significant response from people. I mean, I'm already sitting there watching. The other night I was sitting there on YouTube just flipping around. Okay, what old game can I watch from 1993, you know? I mean, so you think about that a couple months from now.
Yeah, that's going to be – Joe's already gone down the rabbit hole of YouTube. Well, you can get stuck there for a long time, my friend.
Yes.
You can watch a lot of things.
Well, the YouTube TV, you know, I mean, and again, this is all, you know, I get made fun of at home a lot, but you know, I'm not great with the Fire Stick and everything, but you know, just to be able to put it on the TV, that's pretty cool. I gotta say,
Joe, I mentioned that Scott Boras has kind of laid out this plan and he shared it with the LA Times, and he submitted, you know, his plans for neutral site games in the postseason. He's got the postseason under his plan running through December with a potential game 6 of the World Series taking place on Christmas Day. What do we make of the baseball season under Scott Boras's proposal potentially lasting all the way until Christmas Day? That just seems wrong.
I mean, that's NBA Day, Marquise. Yeah. Come on, man. NBA Christmas Day is when I expect to watch, like, 4 awesome NBA games.
You know, if the Dodgers were in the World Series and I had to choose between watching the Dodgers or watching the Lakers wear colorful jerseys for Christmas Day to play the Clippers, I'd probably still choose the Dodgers because I'd need to watch them win a World Series.
Yeah, right. I mean, if your team is in it on Christmas Day, then it'll be like Christmas Day.
If it's the team that eliminated the Dodgers, then I'll just ban baseball from my household at that time.
You forget that it exists.
Yeah, exactly.
Munson, what are you going to do if the Houston Astros make the World Series this year?
I will probably cancel baseball altogether. And just, you know, just no more if it's like Astros or the Red Sox or even if the Mets make it before us, I'll just be like, come on, are you serious? Like, this is what we got in baseball? No, thank you. I'll pass. I'll just watch basketball. I'll just stick with my guns here and focus on basketball.
Yeah, lost in all this stuff is like, because remember, that's all we were talking about is, oh, how are people going to react to the Astros?
Yeah.
And they're going to get beaned. They're going to get booed. I mean, if it takes long enough, by the time we get back to around a baseball, people might not even be mad at them anymore. You know, it's like, thank you for playing baseball.
But what would be funny is if they start in like August and they still beam like Alex Bregman.
I mean, it's still the same situation.
Hey, Alex, we don't forget. Just Corona has not saved you from us beaming you with this ball.
First pitch of the season, just directly to the back in between the numbers. I think there's a good chance that happens.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that there's a first pitch.
Yeah, that would be step one. When we come back, the NFL and the general managers in the NFL are at odds over the draft taking place as planned. We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase talking about the situation going on in the NFL right now regarding the NFL draft. Welcome back into Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. And Joe, really interesting situation right now because it's already been announced the draft is not going to take place in Las Vegas as originally scheduled. The draft scheduled to take place on April 23rd, and the general managers across the NFL do not want that to happen. They want the draft to be pushed back. The general manager subcommittee unanimously recommended to Roger Goodell to push back the start of the draft. That was reported by ESPN's Adam Schefter and Diana Russini on Tuesday night. So basically, the general managers feel like that due to the coronavirus, there's just not enough verified information out there about the players that are going to be available in the draft. Like, there's not enough time to get physicals, psychological testing, all these things that we typically see done in person, in facilities. Obviously, with the situation going on in our country right now, that just can't happen. And right now, the NFL's response to that has basically been, you know, the draft is taking place as scheduled. And you heard Tim Hasselbeck talking about how, you know, free agency is taking place as scheduled. Teams have just had to adapt and adjust to the new parameters of doing business right now in the NFL. Joe, when you look at this discussion going on, if you're Roger Goodell in the NFL, do you give consideration to moving the date of the draft back to try to give the general managers more time to get complete information to have, I guess, more of a normal quote-unquote draft that we're used to seeing every year?
All right, I'm gonna go to our afternoon show for this. One, as Tim pointed out, you know, it's like you signed Ryan Tannehill, you don't have a press conference. We did have a teleconference, which would have been fine if Stillman didn't destroy it with his phone being on, so we all had to hear the I've not ripped Stillman for this, so I'm glad that was brought up. Thanks a lot, Stillman. And the other member of our afternoon show, Floyd Reese, at one point told me about how drafts used to go long, long ago. Basically, these guys would look up like the street and like the college football All-America teams and draft off that. Like there was nothing. There was, you know, like it's amazing to think about. And it wasn't, you know, I mean, it was a long time ago, but think about that versus now, you know?
Yeah.
The point being, look, to me, if it's a level playing field, then I think that you go on with it. Now, I guess I get how some of the teams, you know, are not in their facilities, you know, obviously in California. I mean, you think about the California teams, you think about the Seahawks, you think about, you know, the Giants and Jets. You know, they are in areas that are, you know, really hard hit by coronavirus right now. So they, you know, aren't able to be in their home bases. But I guess if no one's able to do all the in-person vetting and everything, which is, I believe, the case right now, I mean, you really just can't do all the stuff you normally do. And if it's true for everyone, you know, I like, push it back till when? And then when does it change? We don't know. I mean, I know that, you know, there's talk about trying to return to normalcy, you know, around Easter or whatever, but we don't know that things are going to be significantly different May or June when you're trying to bring people in and stuff like that. So I guess it's a question of how much of an advantage is it for teams that are in their own buildings versus, you know, for the draft versus teams that aren't. I can't imagine it's that big of a deal, right? Unless there's something I'm missing about that.
I wouldn't think so either. And the thing that Hasselbeck said there that stands out to me is, like, players coming off of injuries, you're not able to really get tested out. Like, for instance, like, nobody can really take a firsthand look right now at Tua Tagovailoa in Alabama. Now, he came out with a video the other day where I guess he was working with Trent Dilfer at Lipscomb. He looks really good. I mean, looks fine in that video. But, like, nobody's team doctor can take a look at Tua right now and see exactly where he is from a recovery standpoint. So that part, I guess I understand in terms of why the general managers would be hesitant to draft someone. Now, Do I think at the end of the day that's going to impact where Tua gets drafted whatsoever? No, I don't. I think there's probably no chance that he makes it past Miami in this draft coming up. But I do kind of think about players, and this goes back to more of the pro day discussion that we had earlier, about, you know, guys like Juwan Jennings, who ran at the combine. It did not go well. You're a guy where you knew that the numbers from Juwan Jennings at the combine probably wouldn't look great, but that's a situation where maybe a pro day helps, and maybe it looks better from that situation. So not going through this normal draft process, I think for guys like Jennings, that could end up really hurting them in terms of where they're selected and where they go in the draft, just because you're not able to go through really all of the normal processes of meeting with guys in person, seeing what they run at their own pro day, like all these things that you would normally have throughout the draft process have been disrupted. And I think about guys like Juwan Jennings, and I think that's really going to hurt him at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of guys count on their pro days because it's everybody's pro day times are, you know, way better if they ran at the combine too, you know.
It's amazing how that works.
Yeah, I mean, but the good thing is we had the combine, so Juwan Jennings, anybody who was interested was able to talk to him there. A lot of guys were. This time is definitely when some guys will get uncovered at pro days, no doubt about that. I mean, there's some guys who I know very much looking forward to that, and some guys who like weren't even on the radar, you know, of the combine invite, who can get noticed at pro days, especially if they, you know, are at a pro day that's going to be heavily attended. You know, an SEC pro day, a Big Ten pro day. You know, some of those under the radar guys sometimes will. You know, they got everybody there, and you can make someone notice. A guy like Nigel Warrior, which I still can't believe he didn't get invited to the combine, but he's a guy who, you know, needed his pro day, no doubt, and to come in and do visits and all that. So it's not ideal, and some of those guys, it's going to hurt them. But you know what? Even those guys, if you're on the radar and you've got the film, you know, someone's going to sign you as an undrafted free agent and give you a crack at it and come into camp. Now, then the next question is, okay, and then is there a mini camp? Is there an OTA? Is there, you know, obviously a lot of stuff is changing and the opportunities are being squeezed here. But again, if it's a level playing field, and if not being in the team facility versus being in the team facility is that big of an advantage, I need to know why. I understand it's not convenient, but like you can set up somewhere with social. You can, you know, you guys can get on the phones. I mean, what happens on draft day? It's phone call. It's calling other GMs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that like you make a trade? You get on the phone. You call the other GMs. Yeah, you can do that. You can do that while socially isolated if you want. So, I don't see a compelling reason, you know, other than. I mean, everything is messed up here, and it's probably more reliance now on the game film. But a lot of people who are in personnel will tell you that's still the most important thing anyway.
Oh, I agree. And look, the other part of this is it's still a fluid situation. Like right now, it's scheduled to start on April 23rd, and we said earlier they've moved it away from Las Vegas, and I think last week the NFL came out and said that they were exploring, quote, innovative options for how the process will be conducted. And they'll provide that information as it becomes available. But look, I mean, the NFL is in a position right now where you don't have to worry about having it in Las Vegas. It's not like there's going to be a crowd there for the draft at this point anyway. So if you get to, you know, April 6th or April the 7th and you look around and things have gotten really bad in the country and you feel like if you're Roger Goodell at that point that you don't need to have the draft on April 23rd, you could still make that decision early enough into April and adjust from there. So it's not like I don't really buy yet that this April 23rd date from the NFL is completely set in stone. So I mean, I wouldn't be surprised still to see the draft get pushed back a little bit. But I think it's smart on the NFL's part to at least, you know, look around and consider some options. Because you're right, Joe. I think a lot of the draft process you can do remotely. And you can do with as little person-to-person human contact as possible. So I think the NFL would be wise to at least continue to explore that option until you get to a point where you feel like you need to make a firm decision, probably somewhere in the first week of April or so.
I mean, it's exactly 4 weeks from today. It's hard for me to believe that we will have clarity to the point of, okay, push it to May, whatever, June, whatever. And then by then, everyone will be able to do their visits and everyone can be in their building and all that, right? I can't imagine in the next 4 weeks we're going to have the kind of clarity to where you could pick a date and feel good about it. So that, to me, if you can do it, you're probably going to have a higher bust rate and all that. But again, is it equal and fair for everyone? If so, you go with it.
When we come back, Marcus Mariota had some interesting comments about his decision to join the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexro here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was new Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Marcus Mariota on KHON 2 News in Hawaii discussing his decision to sign with the Raiders in free agency. Welcome back into Morning Drive here in ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. And Joe, we haven't really gotten your thoughts on this. Now that you've seen the deal come out with Marcus, I think he signed a 2-year, $17.6 million contract with incentives that if he gets all of the incentives, the contract's max value is $37.5 million. What did you make of the contract that Mariota signed with the Raiders?
Yeah, I think the contract and the urgency with which they signed him, I mean, it tells me that they are bringing him in to push and compete with Carr. I think it's probably going to be a lot like Tannehill last year in that even though, you know, there were people talking about Tannehill competing for the job, you know, from day one, that was never the case. He was never in competition with Mariota in the preseason to be the starter. And I would suspect the same thing. I mean, I don't think you – I just – you know, what can you really do in terms of changing, making a change that important based on, you know, preseason games and preseason practices? I don't think that makes sense. But I think once the season gets going, and let's all hope it's, you know, as scheduled, then I think absolutely Carr has to know that – it's a short leash, and that this guy was brought in, not just nice backup, you know, pay a couple mil. I mean, this guy is, like you said, Robbie, with those incentives, that's a deal that says, hey, if you become the starter, you know, you're going to be paid like one, or you know, or close to like one. And so I feel like it's all a statement that says, Mariota, we believe he can come in here and push it. And again, you know, Mayock and Gruden, very much on the record on draft day 5 years ago that they just loved Mariota. They're big Mariota guys before they had any idea they'd work together or have a chance to acquire him. And so if that's what they thought then, and they were just given their honest analysis on draft day, then why would they think differently about him now?
Yeah, a really interesting point, and I agree. I think Gruden and Mayock really like Marcus Mariota, and I wouldn't be surprised if at some point next season he ends up being the starting quarterback. Now, a lot of that's going to have to do with how the team as a whole plays, not just Derek Carr. But like, if the Raiders come out there next year and they start 2-5, Mariota's probably going to take over at that point. It's just going to be interesting to monitor that. And Mariota talked about, again, with KHON2 News in Hawaii, about the two priorities he was looking for in the free agency process that ultimately led to his decision to sign with the Raiders. Here's what he had to say about those two priorities.
I had two priorities that I had while I was going through this free agency process. And number one was to find stability. I wanted to be a part of an organization that had a stable head coach, that had stability in the front office. And then secondly, for me, I wanted to be a part of a coaching staff that could bring out the best in me, that could embrace my talents, and just kind of put my best foot forward. The bonus and the cherry on top of it was being closer to home and being in Vegas. And again, I really can't stress it enough. We're so excited.
So Mariota talking about the stability he's looking for. And I don't know about you, Joe, but when I think of the Las Vegas Raiders, stability is the first word that comes to mind when I think of those guys. But it is interesting because you think about what he's saying without saying there. You look at the Titans, there was pretty much zero stability for Marcus Mariota during his time here. I think he went through three different head coaches, five different play callers. I mean, there were things changing around Marcus Mariota and this offense on literally a yearly basis while he was here in Nashville. So you don't blame a guy for wanting to go somewhere that John Gruden is going to be there for a while. With the contract that John Gruden signed with the Raiders to become their head coach, he is going to be their coach for the foreseeable future there in Vegas, you would assume. So that part of it, I think you understand that Mariota, given what he went through here in Nashville, now some of that I think is self-inflicted, but given what he went through here in Nashville, having stability with your coaching staff, you could see why that would be really important for Mariota.
Yeah, and I think some people will take those comments as a, I don't know about taking a shot at the Titans, but at least sort of, you know, kind of pointing out that he didn't have that here. He also had a quote, and this is on the KHON2.com website. The quote, when it comes to this point in your career, you just want to be a part of a team that believes in you. Of course, that's another one of those little bit eye-raising quotes.
Yeah, Joe, and we actually have that audio. Marquise has that pulled up for us. So, Marquise, let's go ahead and play what Marcus had to say there about wanting to be a part of a team that believed in him.
There's confidence and a sense of desire, and I really just I appreciate that. You know, I think when it comes to this point in your career, you just want to be a part of a team that believes in you. And with Mike and John, you know, I felt that sense of belief. And for me as a player, that's all I could ever want for. And as I move forward, you know, they've been very understanding. They've been patient with me, and they just want to see what I can do and try to become the best player that I can be. And I think it's been a collective amount of things, but the fact of the matter is they just want me to become the best player that I can be, and that really aligns with what I want to do. And I think that's why this has really been a good fit.
So, Joe, you hear that, and like you were talking about, you know, Mariota is never really going to be a guy that takes a shot at anyone. But I do think, you know, the wanting to be a part of a team that believes in him, part of that discussion there, I got some Titans fans yesterday on social media kind of raising their eyebrows about those comments.
Well, it's funny, too, when you, you know, when you read this, you know, the quote, with Mike and John, I felt that sense of belief. It's like, wait, that's Mike Mayock and John Gruden, or is that Mike Vrabel and John Robinson? Like, at first I was like, okay, wait, who's he talking about? But obviously he's talking about his current employers. Yeah, honestly, I think of all of it, Robbie, I think the you know, team that builds around your skill set thing, I think that's the one that stands out most to me. And I have the biggest problem with that, too. I know a lot of people talked about that when Mariota was here, you know. Well, you got to build this offense around him, and you got to, you know, you got to take advantage of his skill set and everything. I have a real problem with the idea that Mariota would want to be in an offense where he runs the ball to the extent that, say, like Lamar Jackson runs the ball. I think the somewhat limited amount he ran the ball anyway. Look how often he got hurt, right? Yeah. And honestly, the best year of Mariota's career was in 2016, playing for what, you know, a lot of people eventually complained was an archaic, old-school offense. I tell you what, you know, exotic smash mouth, whatever you want to call it. They ran the football with power. They got effective play action off the run game, and he had by far the best year of his career. Worked out all right for him. And they used him as a runner. This idea that, you know, there's some system in the NFL where, like, if you did a system like Lamar Jackson for Mariota, that he would flourish, I totally reject that. I think you need to limit him being in harm's way, given how fragile he has proven to be. So I have a problem with that. I think overall, I don't take this as Mariota, you know, complaining or taking shots. But I do think, look, any player as accomplished as him, who went number two, who won the Heisman, did all he did, there's a certain amount of, you know, belief and maybe ego. And, you know, there's no question that last year hurt him. And I'm sure he feels, you know, maybe he feels he didn't get enough of a fair shot. I think that's wrong, too. But, you know, he's going to feel like, you know, he's got something to prove now, and that this, and maybe at this new spot he'll get a chance to do it.
Yeah, and look, I was kind of having this discussion with Adam yesterday about, you know, whether or not Mariota has a chance to go in with the Raiders. And due to Derek Carr, what Ryan Tannehill did to him here in Nashville. Of course, Tannehill becoming the long-term starter here for the Titans. And I just don't know if I see that with Mariota. Like, I think some of the limitations that we saw from him here in Nashville, like, there are going to be limitations no matter what system that you're on. And I'm not saying that he can't go in there and play better, and maybe it is just as simple as a new place and kind of a fresh start and a new way of looking at things. But I just look at him play, and I watch some of the limitations that he had throwing the ball here with the Titans. And I think those are going to hurt him no matter where he goes. Now, I do think, Joe, that given everything that happened to him in his career here in Nashville, with the coaching turnover, with the injuries that he sustained, I think his confidence in his own abilities took a pretty big hit during his time here. And maybe you go somewhere else and you're able to regain that confidence, and ultimately that's the difference. But I don't look at Mariota and really expect him to go into the Raiders and just completely turn his career around. I mean, maybe I'll be wrong about that, but I just don't have those expectations for him with the Raiders.
Yeah, the thing with him is he misses too many absolute gimme throws.
Yeah.
You know, his accuracy is weirdly off a little bit too often. Now, in those last couple of years, he would have like the great second half at Dallas. He tore up New England, great game against Philly. But then he'd have a lot of weeks where he just really looks subpar. So I agree with you. It would be great to see him get a shot and do well. But I think the consistent, gotta-have-it accuracy on throws that NFL quarterbacks have to make every time is one of the things that I don't see getting fixed for him.
When we come back, there's been a lot of quarterback movement this offseason so far in the NFL. How would we rank the new quarterbacks with their new teams for this next upcoming season? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad. Both Joe and Marquise live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.